face it, winter can wreak havoc on your parking lot. And the last thing your customers need is to dodge potholes, which might make them dodge your business altogether. Make sure they don't have bumps on the way to your door by calling U.S. Pavement. 1-800-PAVEMENT. Let U.S. Pavement smooth the road to your door. U.S. Pavement has paved the way for successful businesses all over New England since 1985. Call now, and a member of their expert team will evaluate your site and give you a price that won't leave a hole in your budget. Call U.S. Pavement at 1-800-PAVEMENT or visit uspavement.com.
B-Pod Studios.
Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on? Are we on fire?
People need to chillax.
Mike Francesa appears to rip fought while ripping Adam Gase.
I love meatballs.
Do you?
Let's go Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Go Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Wall dick, but yeah.
She made out with my dad.
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Get this week stuck out of here.
Gronk, I need to know more. What type of sounds are we talking about? Are we talking about like loud chirping birds? Like, give us an idea of this musical sound.
Like when when your TV's on and like it goes to the black and white screen and it's like all these little dots and it's like fizzing all over the place and it's like brrr. That's the sound that he put up in the stadium when we were in there.
Like the whole time?
The whole time.
You didn't have like intervals of like It's a Small World or anything like that in there?
No, that's some good stuff right there. It's a small world after all.
Okay. Sorry.
You can go to Universal. There's no lines right now. You can go right around the whole time. It's a small world after all. I did it with my mom in February.
All right, the next question is going to come from Greg Allman.
Good morning. We are the Toucher and Rich radio program. We're in the Town Fair Tire Studios. You can give us a call at 617-779-0985. You can watch us on twitch.tv. Search the Sports Hub. You can watch us right there. We ain't getting paid nothing for that. Go to 98.5, the Sports Hub app, and get that cooking. Go to your app store and pop that bad boy on and let it spin around. Ain't gonna hurt nobody. Just dancing, baby. Ain't gonna hurt nobody out there on the floor.
That's the first one or the second one?
That is the first one.
First one, okay.
Yeah, the second one was Bean Pie Black. Remember the kid from Young Black Teenagers, the white guy?
Yeah.
I got Kelly Bundy.
Yep. The second one was the Pajama Jammy Jam, right?
Yes.
You guys are speaking a language I don't understand. Like, what are the references here? Now, I know the Pajama Jammy Jam, that is House Party, right?
House Party 1 and 2
okay.
is what we're talking about.
Okay.
The first,
all right.
Hurt Nobody was a song from House Party 1.
Okay.
Okay.
And the Pajama Jam was House Party 2, but the comic relief in that, instead of Martin Lawrence, was the... one of the MCs from Young Black Teenagers, who's a white guy with dreadlocks, who was trying to fake the funk, and he'd come up, he goes, Bean Pie Black? And then they were like, all right, okay. Young man from Young Black Teenagers, let's cut that out right now.
Who was the father in the first one, Bebe's kids, who died?
Bernie Mac. Not Bernie Mac. Robin... Robin... Yeah.
He was great, I forget what his name was, but yeah, I mean, he was very funny back in the day.
Yeah, well, you know, you're not really participating. You're just kind of on the periphery, just naming things in the movie. I mean, come on, we're getting somewhere with this.
As I said, that was not on my radar. I saw the first one, but that was it. Did not see the Pajama Jammy Jam. I know it existed, though, because I worked at a video store back in the day.
Robin Harris was the
Robin guy. Harris, that's right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Robin Harris.
Mm-hmm.
Now you got to wonder what happened to the guy from Young Black. Now, I've never saw House Party 3.
Oh, I didn't see that one either.
No, House Party 3 was not seen. I tried to show my kids House Party, but then my wife stepped in and did not like it. She said no.
She did not like that. Didn't
like
that. Like
it because it wasn't good, or because she didn't like the topic.
Because of something to do with the language.
Oh, or kids throwing a party while you're out of town.
No, I don't think we had to worry about that just yet. But I would hope not. Well, considering we'd never gone out of town without them. But nonetheless, no, it was the use of some sort of language. By the way, I'm IMDBing. DB'ing House Party 2, but it appears the guy from Young Black Teenager is not participating with IMDb.
Oh.
He was not not participating. You don't have a picture of him up there. Perhaps that was the height of his career was House Party 2.
Hmm.
But I digress. Big day today on the show. Bankroll Boys Ted Johnson, Dave Richard making his debut here on the show this year. He wanted to get paid, but that's not going to happen. But he was very nice about that.
So expect, you know, a moderate quality Dave Richard. Not as high as it would be if he was paid, but, you know, he's doing it for free. So we'll take what we can get.
Yeah, he's not going to try. But nonetheless, he is going to do that.
Any of you guys happen to read, speaking of movies, did you guys read the oral history that came out of the town that The Ringer had? I think they came out with it yesterday. They got Ben Affleck and all the other people who were involved in the movie. Did you get to read any of that?
I saw one excerpt about a review he got and how he knew it was serious or not serious.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, Ben Affleck, one of the things we said when the movie came out, the Boston Phoenix review said horrible Boston accents. He says, I was only comforted by the thought that no one with a Boston accent has actually read the Boston Phoenix. If the Herald had said that, I might have taken it personally. It's actually really good.
He's actually right, too.
Yeah,
right on point. People like the Boston Phoenix, you could find prostitutes in it on the back pages.
Huh.
You never did that, John.
No.
You never at one time went through the classifieds in the back of the Boston Phoenix and ordered a prostitute.
I did not. What was the code term that they would use?
Nothing.
There was prostitute.
No, there was no code. It was the Boston Phoenix, I would imagine, is a lot like Creative Loafing in Atlanta, which was a lot like the Metro Times in Detroit. And the great thing about those weekly free tabloids was the prostitution.
It was like Friend Finder, right? It was a term.
No,
like
it was
that
just, it was just whores. I mean, they were just classified ads for whores. I mean, they didn't say like call me and I'll have sex with you, but they were whores. It was it was just in the classifieds. Maybe it was Friend Finder. I don't know. But we got one in high school. And everyone...
You were a prostitute in high school?
Yeah.
You pulled a risky business? Isn't that
kind of
what they did?
Not for me. But we ordered one, and then she came with a dude, and then everyone flipped out except for one of my friends.
Did you still have to pay?
My friend had sex with her. But the majority of us ran off and hid. Because it became very real at the end that this woman was actually coming.
Whoa. Okay, so how much did this cost?
I don't know. I don't remember.
Okay.
How old were you?
17.
Okay.
Yeah, and we ordered the prostitute, and then it was my senior year in high school, and then we were at my friend's house, and we all, ran. Like, I ran away because it was weird when she actually showed up.
Into the woods? Where all teenagers go and they run?
There was no woods. This kid did have a party, though, that got broken up. But I ran and then came back because the guy was having sex with her. And there was her, liaison guy, the guy that was with her, was in the living room. And me and, two other dudes had to sit in the living room with the guy while my friend had sex with her.
What did the guy look like? What was his deal?
It just looked like a dude, kind of. I don't know if it was his girlfriend or what the situation was, but he was there in case anything popped off.
Okay.
He had a gun.
Jesus. So they invited a guy with a gun in the house.
I mean, there
and
was
you're sitting across from him.
It wasn't really like an invitation. He kind of just came. We invited the girl over, and she came with a guy.
So what did she look like? Expectations in relation to reality.
I mean, there was no picture in the classified. She was, I'm getting a lot of these mixed up, but, cause we used to get strippers. We used to get a hotel room and then get strippers to come to the hotel. We did that a couple times. All I know is she wasn't attractive and that my friend really didn't want to have sex with her, but the money was out and he just felt it was his duty to do so.
Do you remember anything about the conversation?
He was
16. With that gentleman. Oh, he was 16. No, no, no.
My friend was 16.
The guy who was with her? Oh, no, I'm talking about the guy.
No. He was probably in his 20s.
Okay. And what do you talk about during that awkward time while your friend is hooking up with the prostitute and you're just sitting across from a guy with a gun in your friend's living room?
I don't remember much of the conversation. I don't remember being afraid of him. I just remember being afraid of, like, she was not having it, like, because no one wanted to have sex with her. And so she was getting kind of pissed off and she wanted money. So my friend said that he would have sex with her because we all kind of hid and then stuck our heads out. like total pussies. and then, like, you know, we're like, and then my friend was like, all right, fine. It's not, you know, it was a long time ago. It's not, you know, at the top of my head, but I just know my friend. And then he came downstairs and he was just like, that sucked. And I was like, all right. And then the guy left. I remember the guy was not pleased at our indecision of what was going to happen. Okay. Like, I don't think he walked in expecting to see a bunch of wimpy high school kids running around.
So you were basically paying per person, not per hour.
No, right? it was for one act. Like, it wasn't per person. Oh. Like, we didn't go like, hey, there's a bunch of us here, have sex with all of us.
Yeah, yeah.
It was more like, hey, can you come over? And then when it came over and it was entirely a business transaction, it freaked everyone out. Like, you know, like, I don't know if we thought that she would come over and, like, hang out for a while and then...
You thought it was risky business. You thought it was going to be like in the movie Risky Business, where it was going to almost be like a romantic type thing.
No, I didn't think it was going to be romantic, but we didn't know it was going to... They were going to come in and just go, like, okay, now who's having sex with her? Like, who's going upstairs?
Who's first, right?
No, it wasn't even who's first. It was just who's going upstairs, and it became very real right away. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like,
That would freak me out.
I think that we kind of thought she'd come over and, like, hang out for a while. I don't even think we had alcohol or anything, but I just think that she would come over and hang out for a while. And, you know, when she came with the dude, it was kind of just like, and the dude was just like, all right, who's going? And then we all kind of, like, freaked out and ran. I don't think that they were overly impressed with our maturity.
Oh,
yeah, because as soon as, you know, they said, what are you doing? Like, we all ran. And then my friend whose house it was just, like, stepped up and was like, all right.
If you're here already, then...
The Boston Phoenix had a bunch of whore ads, right? Yeah, Nick Saban, yeah. Yeah. So, and since when is the Herald the Bible of great Bostonians?
I think Ben Affleck's point was the people who are real Bostonians buy the Herald as opposed to the Boston Phoenix. That's all.
But the Herald is some sort of...
I don't think it's Bastion. I don't think the Herald has a hammer lock on all Bostonians. I just think, comparatively speaking, they do.
Well, now I feel terrible because I've never bought a Boston Herald in my entire life. Never in my entire life. No, that's not true because they've written about us when we first got here. I have a framed article about us in the Boston Herald. Mm. But I'm ashamed of you guys. You never found yourself at a guy's house sleeping over. The parents weren't home and, you know,
sitting across a man with a gun. No, I don't think I have.
No, I would have remembered that. No.
Well, the kid whose house it was, I told you guys about the video when he was in Vegas. And it was there was a video of these two girls and they were, like, joking around. And it was in the morning and they were, like, wearing dude's clothes. And they panned to a bed and it was in Vegas and my friend's dad was in bed, and he's like, oh, and they're all joking around, and then my friend pops up from the bed. Him and his dad had had sex with these two women in the same room. He was a professional gambler. He'd moved to Vegas to be a professional gambler.
Oh, that's never depressing. It never ends depressing.
That's not uncomfortable at all.
It might be the greatest video I ever saw, because he played it so well. He's just like, look at my dad was with these two girls, and we're like sitting there like, why are you showing us this? There wasn't any sex. It was like in the morning.
Okay.
And everyone's joking around. And the girls are filming themselves. And all of a sudden, my friend pops out of the video and goes, hello! Because he was making the video for us. And we were like, oh, look at that. He had sex with in the same room as his dad.
And in the corner, off camera, there was a man with a gun that nobody knew.
No, they were unpaid for. They were met the old-fashioned way in Vegas. Okay. Right. Playing craps. Mm-hmm. All right, Rich. There are sports. I was going to talk about that, but then my... Attention. Have you ever gotten a prostitute from the back of a tabloid? 617-779-0985. All right, Rich, what's coming up in the old world of sports?
Well, we got game two tonight with the Celtics. And is that game with the Patriots this Sunday actually going to happen? We've got some people chiming in on whether they think the air quality is going to affect what ends up going on Sunday.
Fires galore. We'll have all that for you in just a moment.
98.5, the Sports Hub. Kutcher and Rich. Face it, winter can wreak havoc on your parking lot. And the last thing your customers need is to dodge potholes, which might make them dodge your business altogether. Make sure they don't have bumps on the way to your door by calling U.S. Pavement. 1-800-PAVEMENT. Let U.S. Pavement smooth the road to your door. U.S. Pavement has paved the way for successful businesses all over New England since 1985. Call now, and a member of their expert team will evaluate your site and give you a price that won't leave a hole in your budget. Call U.S. Pavement at 1-800-PAVEMENT or visit uspavement.com.
This is Bob Soucy. The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon. As a runner myself representing the Flutie Foundation at the 2022 Boston Marathon, I'm proud to have been a teammate to many amazing Adaptive Program runners, achieving their dreams at the greatest race in the world. The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.
Coming up next at 10, Sports Talk while you're on the clock. Zolak and Bertrand. Right now, it's Tusher and Rich on Boston's Home for Sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed. It's Tusher and Rich.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Tusher and Rich. Richie Rich, what happened last evening?
Well, tonight's the night that the Celtics try to right the ship after their overtime loss in Game 1 to the Heat. One player that looks like he may not be available this evening, but has taken one step closer to returning, is Gordon Hayward, because yesterday he was upgraded to doubtful for tonight's game. Here is Brad Stevens on Hayward's status.
I don't have an update on Gordon. He's going to do a workout with our staff later today, but no real update there. And then, you know, as far as Kemba goes, I don't lose any sleep over Kemba. Nobody cares more than Kemba. Nobody wants to play better. And we are constantly going to the drawing board to figure out how we can make his life a little bit easier from our own perspectives. So we'll keep riding.
It was interesting when we talked to Danny Ainge yesterday, and once again, no one would fault Gordon Hayward if he ended up leaving the bubble. He's been very upfront about that since before the postseason even started, is that he was going to be there for the birth of his son. But, you know, when we talked to Danny Ainge, it sounded like, and I don't want to put words in his mouth, it sounded like, you know, they had spoken, and maybe if circumstances has changed, in other words, if Gordon Hayward was healthy enough to play significant minutes, that maybe that would change things. Did you get that read as well?
And Danny basically said he wouldn't have gone to see the birth of his son. He said would have stayed and played basketball, but he did say it was a different era.
He also wasn't calling out Gordon Hayward.
I didn't say he was.
But you're right. I mean, he said my wife wouldn't have wanted me here.
Yeah, you know? And so he was joking around, but because at first I said I'd go to see the birth of my son. I'm just talking about myself. But now I'm not sure. Like, if it was a series and it was the Eastern Conference Championship, I'm not sure if I would go or not.
Yeah. It's weird because, I mean, and I think that everything's changed from when he first made that statement. If it was last round, I could see him still going. But, man, they're right there. I mean, they're right there. And he's going to know that he's a fairly important piece. And once again, no one's going to kill him, and they shouldn't kill him if he leaves.
No, they won't kill him, but you would think at this point you'd probably stay.
Yeah.
I would think that you would stay because when the last series I was – I'm just talking about myself – that I would go for the birth. But then you think – all right, so you're there for the birth. You know, that's great and everything, but this might be your shot at a championship. You know, you got to weigh the pros and cons.
Yeah, and the thing too, Fred, is that if she was to give birth today or tomorrow, he'd go because he knows that he's not ready.
Right.
Like, the significant minutes aren't there. But if, let's say, there's a game seven, and by that time he's ramped up enough where he's playing 20-something minutes – that's a whole different conversation to have. And that's the way it sounded like Danny Ainge and his conversations with Gordon Hayward went. Once again, not putting words into his mouth. I just want to make sure that you guys kind of got that same feeling way he was talking about
that. Isn't it interesting, though, that he could go into a hospital to witness the birth of his child without quarantining, and he would not be able to do that to play basketball? I mean, seriously, if he left the bubble, went right into a private plane, went right to the hospital, watched the birth of his son, got in a car, went right to the private plane, right back to the bubble, and he would have to quarantine for 2 days. That's a little crazy with the testing they have now. So it seems a little silly that he'd have to wait those 2 days, but them's the rules.
Them's the rules. On top of that, Jaylen Brown knows what got away from them was the type of basketball that made them successful up to this point. In the game one, they just had no plan, it seemed like, in the fourth quarter. And it sounds like he wants to get back to what got them there in the first place.
I think we need to improve. I don't think yesterday was the best example of Celtic basketball. So we got to get back to what we do best. We got away from that. And whatever reason, fatigue or whatever you want to call it, there's no excuses. We are in Eastern Conference Finals. We got to get back to doing what we do best. And I think we will.
Also, yesterday, Jason Tatum was named to the All-NBA third team, joining Tatum for his first berth on an NBA team was Russell Westbrook, Jimmy Butler, Ben Simmons, and Rudy Gobert. Wait, hang on. That's Russell Westbrook's first All-NBA team? Is that right, John? Can we fact-check that?
I don't think that's the case. I don't think so.
I saw that in an article, and I'm like, there's no way that's true.
I don't think that's true. I would pretty much guarantee that's not true.
No way. But
guy averaged a triple-double in back-to-back years. I think he's been made one of these teams before.
You would think so. Well, Tatum has the most votes for any third-team member out there, and he was edged out for a spot on the second team by Pascal Siakam of the Raptors. Yeah. Those votes were based on the play before
I think you swapped the two there.
Well, I think it just shows how good Tatum is, right? That Pascal Siakam is ahead of him.
Well, this is based on regular season, and you could argue that, yes, Pascal Siakam was better than Jason.
No, I know. He wasn't.
Regular season. I mean, that's what the people who know far more than you two say.
That is true.
All right, well, Jason Tatum, regardless of what you just said, Fred, is one of the 15 best players in the NBA.
It's an arbitrary thing.
Oh, so does the second team versus third team count or not count?
No, but if I'm playing with LeBron James or something like that, I'm being overshadowed, so...
I see.
He's arguably the 11th best player if he had most votes on the third team, is he not? I guess you could kind of say that. Well,
your better argument, Fred, would be, well, you know, Kyrie and Kevin Durant didn't play this year. That would push Tatum down a couple of spots.
I could make many arguments, but well, I choose not to.
Kemba Walker was the only other Celtic to receive a vote for either All-NBA team, receiving one for second and third team. And the rumors were swirling yesterday. I'm telling you, swirling. Was there someone in town to work out for the Celtics? And was that person a big baller? Internet reports that LaMelo Ball and his gorgeous face were in Boston yesterday for a private workout with the Celtics. But then those rumors quickly refuted when sources say that LaMelo was indeed here, but not for a workout, instead for a meeting with sneaker company Puma. Listen, you know, you want a dreamy spokesperson for Puma, look no further than LaMelo Ball.
I think it's fantastic LeVar Ball's company is just no longer mentioned. You know,
I don't think he's a company anymore.
It was a disaster.
I looked at the way because I happened to be looking at an NBA mock draft. Don't ask me why. And I looked at the Big Baller Brand website, and they it redirects you to like a law firm of some kind.
Yeah,
because they're out of business.
When you have your son in sole person wearing the shoes, say that they blow up, and you would have to change them every quarter.
Yeah.
That does not speak highly of the product.
Yeah. And you know, his representation, I think he signed with Rich Paul of Clutch Sports this week. I mean, not being represented by his dad, his son is going and taking meetings with Puma. I think LeVar is pretty much out of the game at this point.
Yeah, I just got a great text from Dan Roach. He says, serious question, can you FaceTime during a childbirth?
No, Dan, that's not allowed. They don't allow that.
It's illegal in many states.
No, I think he's actually trying to ask Gordon Hayward directly, can you please FaceTime during a childbirth?
Okay. No, yeah, like, Dan wants them to win very badly. Dan, he, you know.
Well, he needs something in his life because the Red Sox are obviously not doing anything for poor Dan.
It's just about the game. It's just about the crack of the bat.
Well, there you go. Tonight's game two. We get another early one, 7 p.m., which is phenomenal. And you can hear it right here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. They still have not announced the times for anything after game three, correct? Like, and that would be Monday night, with if it's ever the day, which Monday night
early
football.
Game. It would be an early game.
It could
You'd
be.
Hope so, yeah. Yep. How could it not be? I mean, it's ESPN. How could it not be?
You know what?
ESPN
2.
The other thing is,
no way.
No, there's a precedent that has been set. They moved this game tonight early, specifically not to conflict with Thursday night football. They wanted to get a jump on Thursday night football. If you have game four on Monday night, would it not follow that you would want to make it an early game?
Even more so
to avoid that conflict.
It's even more so because Monday night football is their product, so they'd also want to get some pregame in.
I wonder if they'd move the date. If they'd move it to Tuesday. They could do that.
But the date's set, right? Or just the time's not set?
I don't think that the date is set.
Ooh.
The
date is set either.
Oh!
So, I mean, they only game three.
Oh!
Is what they go for. So, I mean, it's right now, if you look at the schedule, it says Monday, but it says Monday. But they could move things. If they don't have a time yet, they might end up. And why would you not make that decision now? Because, you know there's Monday night football.
Yeah, no, they haven't set. I'm looking. The date is not set in stone.
No,
the only thing
that's
set in stone is an 8:30 tip on Saturday night.
Okay.
Oh.
All right.
Well, well, well. All I know is it's a road game tonight.
No, it's a home game.
Tonight. No, I mean road game on Saturday. Sorry.
Yeah, yes, yeah. Road game on Saturday. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. All right. We will be back, Rich. What will we talk about?
All right, let's get to the Patriots. Will they or won't they end up having this game in Seattle on Sunday?
All right. We will have Ted Johnson on from 7:20 till 8 o'clock to talk all things Patriots. Here are...
Face it, winter can wreak havoc on your parking lot. And the last thing your customers need is to dodge potholes, which might make them dodge your business altogether. Make sure they don't have bumps on the way to your door by calling U.S. Pavement. 1-800-PAVEMENT. Let U.S. Pavement smooth the road to your door. U.S. Pavement has paved the way for successful businesses all over New England since 1985. Call now, and a member of their expert team will evaluate your site and give you a price that won't leave a hole in your budget. Call U.S. Pavement at 1-800-PAVEMENT or visit uspavement.com.
The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon.
Hi, my name is Eric Fishman, and I'm running as a member of the Adaptive Program for Runners in this year's Boston Marathon. Thanks to the Flutie Foundation, runners like me can achieve their dreams and finish the greatest race in the world.
Woo! The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.
The headline.
Bill Belichick sits down with Zoe for his exclusive game day interview all season long.
Big win against the Eagles.
Everybody did a good job.
Now back to Toucher and Rich on Boston's home for sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Then at 5 Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what's going on?
So the Patriots will be heading to Seattle to take on the Seahawks this weekend. Or will they? Poor air quality caused by the wildfires in Seattle forced the Mariners to move their series against the Giants out of T-Mobile Park and down to San Francisco. You guys have obviously seen the pictures that are coming out of Seattle, right? I mean, it looks bad there right now. There's been a bunch of people speculating as to when this is going to move away. There seems to be a consensus that it could be as early as tomorrow that you might start to see it clear up, but it's just so thick right now that I don't know how long it takes. To be honest, I've never seen anything like this before. But Pete Carroll, he says he isn't expecting any issues by Sunday night. Dan, you want to pop me up there, buddy? There you go.
We're in direct connection with them, and they are monitoring what's going on, and as we are as well. Hopefully we get a good shift in the weather here by the weekend. It looks like it could change tomorrow, some and into the weekend. So, but we're very cognizant of it, and we're working to figure it out.
And you're practicing on Friday, so.
Yes.
Yeah, and then have you seen Los Angeles? That's not looking so good either. So I don't know how long it's going to take to get this out of there. But the NFL, they are aware of a potential problem. They're reportedly monitoring the situation. I guess because you have no fans – it might not be the toughest thing in the world to move it south, like they did with the baseball game. So, I mean, but then again, I don't know how bad things are in San Francisco now. So it'll be something worth monitoring. Once again, there's a lot of weather experts saying that the clearing is going to start on Friday, tomorrow, and hopefully by Sunday you'll be able to have clean enough air for people to play a football game. I can't believe those words I'm actually saying. So, also, Nick Folk was promoted back from the practice squad, so I guess you're just going to continue to do this dance every week, huh? Like just back and forth.
Question is why? I don't see any other team doing this. Yeah, I mean, I got to believe that the Patriots are praying that another kicker pops open who's a free agent, or Rohrwasser finds himself and starts kicking well so that they can stop doing this and keep the kicker on the main roster. Why else would you kick him to the practice squad and then bring him back?
This is one of those new rules that I've heard Jeff Howe tell me how it works. I've read how it works. And you know what? My brain can't conceive it. It's like I think you can only do it three times without putting a guy on, you know, I don't know. It's weird. And I don't know why they continue to do that. It doesn't say anything really about their faith in this guy. It just, I don't know why they keep continuing to do this. Well, there you go. So if you happen to notice that the NFL was slightly more watchable this week, it's because the refs kept their flags in their pocket more than usual. 1 year after the NFL told officials to make offensive holding calls a point of emphasis, which was a really smart idea for people who are already having a hard time watching the product that was on television. More flags, more flags. Well, now the league has done something smart, believe it or not, and gone in the exact opposite direction. According to ESPN, NFL officials threw only 18 flags for offensive holding in week one, which is a 78% decline from last year. Now, the league isn't saying whether it specifically told officials to hold back, but if this is going to be a pattern, maybe Rob Gronkowski will be a success in Tampa after all, because I don't think there's anyone in this league over the past decade who's been punished by those stupid offensive holding calls than he has. So
I would just, I don't know. Yeah, I don't.
Do you really
know that, John?
No, I didn't know that. Yeah, is that right?
Do you get called for holds all the time?
Rob Gronkowski? All the time. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Really?
All the time. Yes.
I didn't know that.
I didn't notice it either, really. Okay.
Oh, yeah. Well, he was a Patriot here? Yeah. We get called for that all the time. It was almost unfair, how many calls that they had against him. That's also a ticky-tack call anyway for the most part. I mean, what percentage of them are actually ones that deserve to have flags thrown?
I don't mind holding. I wish they would crack down on calling pass interference. That's the one that I hate. Because now you just chuck it up. I mean, Brady almost got bailed out of that game just chucking the ball up. Holding doesn't bother me that much. It's the pass interference, because that really changes the game. So, I mean, holding doesn't bother me. It really never has. And defensive holding bothers me because they go against the Lions. And they just call Trey Flowers for it every time that he touches anyone.
Well, we all remember this play from this past week, unfortunately.
Taylor's the single back. Edelman sprints right to left. Newton starts to roll that way, and then he curls back to his right. He's going to throw it for Harry. He makes the catch at the five. Tracked down by Baker from behind. Lost the ball, and it squirted through the end zone.
Come on, kill.
With a fumble and a touchback. The Dolphins are going to take over. What a huge play, if it stands.
Yeah, that sucked. But Cam Newton is doing, I guess, what you should do as a leader, and that he's sticking up for his guys. He was asked about N'Keal Harry, and here's what he had to say.
You know, I spoke with N'Keal. Let's just put a lot of things into perspective here, right? Did he have a good game? Yes, he did. That one play overshadowed the production that he did have.
He also continued to say but he also bailed me out a few times on some throws that shouldn't have been caught. And so he went on extensively to stick up for N'Keal Harry. And if you're a guy like him, who obviously is trying to find any kind of confidence, hearing a guy like Cam Newton do that is obviously good for you.
So. Let's not get flattened by a defensive back that weighs 30 pounds less than you. I'd have more confidence when you can truck a guy like that and keep going. Yeah. The guy's a physical specimen. Let's see it. You know what I'm saying?
Well, in fairness, he did have 39 yards receiving.
Yeah, he was very productive.
Yeah, we just didn't see it. Layman's.
Maybe he blocked really well.
Well, Cam Newton
actually mentioned
that. Some of
those quarterback runs, yeah.
Cam Newton mentioned that. He was very good at blocking.
Yeah.
He did.
Which is why you draft a receiver in the first round. It's just one, essentially a glorified tight end.
Yeah, and any of the receivers around him aren't any better than him. I mean, God forbid. I mean, that would really suck for the Patriots if they drafted a wide receiver before a lot of receivers that were very good.
Yeah.
That'd be bad.
Well, in, also in fairness, that was a very light receiver draft. They can't draft skill position players.
I want to like Nikhil Harry so bad because he fits just what the Patriots need.
You understand how good he's going to have to be to warrant that pick. I mean, he's going to have to be a number one receiver.
Considering all the receivers around him and how well they've all done, yes.
Well, if I take a receiver in the first round, I know it was late in the first round, but if I take one in the first round, I'm expecting him to be my number one receiver. I think that we could all agree with that. You would just expect that.
Yeah.
That's what you're looking for. Yeah. I mean, you're not going to hit a Sony Michel every time. You know, just a really average guy.
I like that. We weren't talking about running backs at all, and you still managed to shoehorn that in there.
Yeah.
That's good.
Because I've been told over and over again how dumb I am about Sony Michel.
I think the drumbeats have stopped there, Fred. I don't think anyone is doing that.
No, Sony Michel is a running back.
Yeah.
That's what he is.
He is. He's a running back.
And every time...
Scored a touchdown last week.
Yeah. Yeah. He's...
Great goal line runner.
That's right.
And that's why you draft him in the first round.
That's right. He's LeGarrette Blunt 2.0. He can't be stopped. That's right. That's why you take him in the first round. Take it down there, back in the first round.
Well, down there in Tampa, they've got a little bit of a behind-the-scenes thing going on when it comes to Bruce Arians calling out his own players. We heard him calling out Tom Brady after the game for those two interceptions, and then afterwards he made a comment about how we saw Tom Brady in practice, but we didn't see him during the game, and, you know, we knew what was going to be thrown at us, and it still didn't happen, and he was asked about the relationship between him and Tom Brady and whether making those comments might put somewhat of a rift between the two of them.
There seems to be these unwritten rules that you can't speak ill of a quarterback, but it seems like Tom Brady is a guy that can handle tough coaching too.
Yeah, Tom and I are fine, so I don't really care what other people think. So it's just what he and I think, and we left the stadium fine. We showed up today fine, so there ain't nothing to talk about.
It sounds like a guy who got caught cheating. I don't know what you're talking about,
Listen, you knew what you were getting with Bruce Arians. It's not like all of a sudden Tom Brady's just figuring out that this is the type of guy to say whatever's in his head and he's incapable of BSing. So if Tom Brady is feigning shock right now, that would be a little strange. But Bruce Arians continued, however. And is this clip number three? Is this the Rob Gronkowski clip, Dan? Can you ask Mike? Because he called out Rob Gronkowski as well yesterday. So he's spreading the love around here. It is? Okay, let's take a listen.
What would you make of his first game?
I thought he played fine. You know, there were some times when, you know, he was matched up on Cam Jordan and some other guys. That's no easy chore for any tight end, especially if it's your first game back. And, you know, we've like to see him a little more push, but a stalemate against him, I'll take that every time. And but overall, I thought he played, got his feet wet back in the league and was fine. Nothing glaring, that's for sure.
Yeah, he said, I wish he'd have a little more push, but we'll take a stalemate. That doesn't seem like the best vote of confidence, but either way, that's not as bad as the Tom Brady stuff.
No, he was calling out Tom Brady pretty good. Good, Tom Brady deserves it. Tom Brady didn't play very well.
And he's going to take it. He's going to sit there and he's going to take it because he has too much to lose not to. How would it look if he went to a new place and had all these weapons and got called out by his head coach and threw a hissy fit? His first game away from Bill Belichick. That would look awful. So he might be pissed, but he'll never show that to anybody.
Yeah, they're going to go crazy. That offense is going to explode.
This weekend and next weekend, they have Carolina this weekend, and I think they have Denver next weekend without Von Miller. I'm pretty sure that Brady and the offense will find their footing.
I'm putting the over at 350. That's the number. Yards passing.
Yards, okay, yes.
Yeah, I think he's going to just go out and light it up. There's no stopping. It's going to be that annoying two-step drops, just dumping the ball, boom, 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 boom.
A lot of yak yards. A lot of yak.
Yak plus.
Yak plus, yeah.
It's all about the yak plus. I learned that from Greg Bedard. There's a little thing called yak plus. Learn about it. I don't know. I'm not going to tell you jabronis. I'm not going to sit here and teach you what's going on. Rich, when we come back, what are we going to talk about?
A Boston legend may have played his last game with his team, so we will get to that.
Couldn't happen to a better team. All right, we'll be right back.
Drive home with Felger and Matt this afternoon at 2. Right now, this is how Boston sports fans start the day. Toucher and Rich on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
98.5 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. You can find us on Twitch at 98.5 The Sports Hub. You can watch us on your computer or on your phone. Also, you can get the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Listen to the radio station. Get the podcasts. And I didn't know this was happening. Spencer, 617-779-0985. Spencer, hello.
Good morning, gentlemen. How's everyone doing?
We're doing well. Hello.
Hey, well, we need a win. We need a win. And there's a couple of people in Florida, Marco Rubio and Rick Scott. I'm not a politic guy, but I read that these guys are pushing Congress to keep daylight saving times in place. You know, and you guys have talked about this in the past. You were the first people I thought of. And see, people need to hear about this because I don't know if people realize suicides go up when they when they roll the clock back. And this is a crappy year to do it. I think they got to keep it in place. Get rid of it.
Right? Yeah.
What do you guys think?
It's funny that you mentioned that because there's an article in the Globe today about the pandemic and the effect of the time change on it. And I think that now would be a very good time to
a perfect year
to do it. Just even if you just do it this one year, just do it.
Yep. I agree. And there was also a study that just came out. It might have been this past week. There was a sleep study, and all of these different sleep experts are calling for the elimination of daylight savings time as well. And I know that there is who are the states that they're taking a look at possibly putting them into that time zone that doesn't change that some of the islands have. What's that?
We're
one. It's like us, Rhode Island, and I think maybe even Connecticut, I believe. So like right now, there is a push, and there's enough evidence, and there seems to be enough science. And you know what? And then there's just living through it for all these years. You know that things suck and get way more depressing when the sun is down at 4 p.m. There's no benefit. Give me one benefit to changing the time and to changing the schedule. People say, well, kids at the bus stop. I don't... really? Are we doing that?
Bus stop is the most ridiculous thing ever. I mean, come on. I mean, there's kids that are getting bussed in that are on the bus at 5 o'clock in the morning. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
I mean, are we... I mean, that's ludicrous.
Nothing like waking up in the inner city to take the bus out to the suburbs at 5 a.m.
Yeah, and you're on the bus at 5 a.m., so it's okay for them to be in the dark, but no one else could be in the dark. I mean, come on.
Yeah, it's
crazy. The bus stop thing is ludicrous. I mean,
and that's the only defense that I've heard.
I have a son who takes the bus. He takes the city bus, and he's perfectly fine. He can get on it when it's dark.
Dan makes a good point, too. He just said that it would help with the outdoor dining as well.
Yes, it would help the economy. I don't see a negative really at all. I don't see any downside to it. And by implementing, by falling back, I see a million downside. I see a ton of downside. I mean, it's really an epidemic, this depression and anxiety. 1 in 5, they say. And that's only the people that talk about it. So saying 1 in 5 since COVID. And then you pile this on top of it. And, you know, you people working from home that don't get out, Rich. And, it's got to be very depressing.
Well, I guess Maine is also one of the other states who's all in on this,
I would
too.
Imagine it's all of New England and then and all of that. Unless that Bernie Sanders doesn't want people touching his time.
Vermont? You want to leave Vermont alone?
Vermont. Yeah, those hippies, let them. What do they care?
Let them rot.
What is it? Is they going to complain about farming? Get up, if it's dark or not dark. You still get as many hours of the day. You get up as the crow squawks, you know?
Mm-hmm. Atlantic Standard Time. That's what it's called.
Yeah.
That's what we would be in now.
We'd be Halifax. Our brothers in Halifax.
You would never change forward or backward. And you know what? And that's happened. There's states, or at least there's a state. I think that Arizona doesn't change.
And also Indiana.
Yep. So this is not a way out there concept. And I don't understand why. As I said, if somebody could tell me one benefit to changing the clocks now, other than, we've just always done it, some outdated farm thing that, you know, I don't think that benefits anymore.
Well, they're like the markets, you know, the stock market opens at 9:30 in the morning, right? So you can't get up you can't have it open at 8:30, you lazy prick. Managing my money, get up an hour earlier.
Traffic's difficult. Stupid. Getting downtown to New York City, apparently.
Yeah, get up earlier, dummy. What, you can't have the market open at 8:30? Go screw. All right, people are calling in, but I don't care what they have to say. No commercials here, just the headlines. We'll be back with the bank robot.
Face it, winter can wreak havoc on your parking lot. And the last thing your customers need is to dodge potholes, which might make them dodge your business altogether. Make sure they don't have bumps on the way to your door by calling U.S. Pavement. 1-800-PAVEMENT. Let U.S. Pavement smooth the road to your door. U.S. Pavement has paved the way for successful businesses all over New England since 1985. Call now, and a member of their expert team will evaluate your site and give you a price that won't leave a hole in your budget. Call U.S. Pavement at 1-800-PAVEMENT or visit uspavement.com.
The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon.
Hi, my name is Eric Fishman, and I'm running as a member of the Adaptive Program for Runners in this year's Boston Marathon. Thanks to the Flutie Foundation, runners like me can achieve their dreams and finish the greatest race in the world.
Woo! The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.
Hey, the 82 preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season, so don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, every opening tip to all those buzzer beaters, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and much more. And if you're new to sports betting, it's super easy to get started. Try betting on something simple like a team to win, go to the app, select your team, and place your first bet. That's simple. And here's something to sweeten the deal. For new customers, bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. Again, use the code SPORTSHUB. And if you're a new customer, you'll get $200 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. That's only on DraftKings.
Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gamblinghelplinema.org. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com. Physically present in Massachusetts. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. Eligibility and deposit restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.draftkings.com/basketball terms.